B-Pod Studios.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Say what I say. What you say? Heroin Ray. Doing a lot of heroin on the set of the Blues Brothers. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch. Some of the gamers are into. You go to Twitch, and it's paying off in spades for us. I got to be honest with you. It's twitch.tv. Search 98.5 The Sports Hub. Watch our show. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, stream the show, listen to our podcast, read all the blogs. It's all there at your app store. And Rich, what is this now? John was telling me this a little bit off air. What is this? There's not going to be sports? What is the NBA and the NFL? What's going on?
Okay, so you know the league just announced last week that they want to come back and have live basketball, actual games start on December 22nd, and that means the teams would have to come back on December 1st in order to start doing camp. Now, this is on top of, on the 18th of next month, you have the draft. So everything all of a sudden is just in overdrive. Well, apparently, according to a report from, I think it was the New York Times, big-time players such as LeBron James have all gotten together and said, that's too early, we're not playing. And there were threats, according to this report, that you can start the season if you want to on December 22nd, but LeBron James isn't going to be there till February 1st. So, as a matter of fact, it's not just guys like LeBron James. It almost seems to be a bold stance that the Heat and the Lakers as teams are making together, because their whole opinion was that we played longer than anybody else. We've barely got 2 months to be able to see our families after being in a bubble for 3 months. This is way too soon. And meanwhile, the NBA is saying, did you see how much money we lost last year? Not having people in the stands. Are you out of your effing mind? We got to get this train rolling immediately. So it looks like there might be somewhat of a standoff. Either you're going to get a standoff, or you're going to see teams that have players who have the money and they have the contracts and they have the power to do so just not show up until February.
That'd be awesome.
It would be cool. I actually wouldn't mind that.
And you could say, LeBron, if you win a title and no one sees it, does it count?
Well, don't think that didn't warm my heart a little bit. I was rooting for bad ratings.
Yeah,
bad finals.
Just like this is really a good time for you to stand up, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, LeBron, no. We're going to lose that 7 million people. Ah! I'm the NBA, yeah, good. Stay home. I'd watch it.
Sure.
It wouldn't affect me at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only thing that would suck is it if you have teams like, you know, like what you had with the Celtics, who were one of the final four teams. If something got in there, a bug in their ear, and they're like, we don't want to do, because I'd like to see the Celtics.
Yeah, but the thing is that if there's no fans in Massachusetts, you can't, because if you had season tickets, it would suck. Because you paid the money to see the players. I mean, you want to see the team.
But you're not going anyway. You're not
going
anyway.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying, is that there's no way in Massachusetts they're going to let people in games at that point.
No.
So, you know.
So that doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter. So screw it. Yeah. Let's see the kid from Indiana play. Let's see Langford play.
You know what's really funny? And I have to laugh because there's a reason. The NBA wants to start on December 22nd. You saw how many games they have they want to play.
Yeah.
72.
72.
Just enough to kick in that local TV revenue again.
Yep.
Yep.
And
you know what? You can't push that back much further. Not if you don't want to run into the Olympics.
No,
that's going to be a hard date. December 22nd is there for a reason.
Yep.
You want to make sure that you don't have to play 3 games in 4 nights 3 times a month. You want to give the players enough rest time to limit the back-to-backs. Yet you got to get in 70 games to get you your cash.
So LeBron, the league is going to exist without you at some point.
No,
you're
not
going to retire.
They're not pushing the season back to February, LeBron.
No,
we're going without you.
Feel free. I mean, if you would like to not play until February, that's your choice. But, you know, life goes on without you.
So
even though he might honestly think it doesn't, He might actually be one of these people that doesn't believe in history because he wasn't here to see it.
Well, Jared Dudley tweeted after the story came out.
Don't tell me Dudley's on the fence. Dudley, you got to play, baby.
Hey, Boston College guy, we love him. But BC, come on,
Duds.
Jay Dudd, what do you got to say? He says, the show will go on. Just don't cry a river when stars sit out TV games.
Especially
top teams that played a longer full season. And he's, I mean, that seems to be the consensus.
Good.
Is that these stars are going, not enough time off.
And
we
then
need more.
And is there like anything more clicky or like high school-y than the NBA? Because then it's going to be like if you're a star, you almost have to sit out. Because if you play, then you're not as cool as the other
stars.
That's
right. You get kicked out of the club. You do. You get kicked out of the club. If you play and the inner circle decides not to, you know?
Right.
That big oak table that all the great stars, like you were saying, the Lodge has a place up in New Hampshire. I don't know where this Lodge is.
They're all on one of those, what do you call those, the rafts that you go on that Dwayne Wade and LeBron were on?
Oh, the banana boat.
They're all on a banana boat.
Okay.
They're all
you get pushed off the boat into the water if you decide to play.
And LeBron will have like a thing. I guarantee you, and you guys, if you envision it, you'll know it's true, that he'll have a big yacht thing happening in Miami or like on some island.
Sure.
And it will be like 20 all-stars over there all like hanging out. And LeBron's going to be like, tee-hee, what do you think? And everyone's going to go, who cares? It's December. No one cares.
Here's why I think this is good news for the Celtics is because if there's one player that would probably play just to spite LeBron James who wouldn't be playing, it's Jaylen Brown. Like, Jaylen Brown has made a name for himself over the last couple of months of being a guy who's not afraid to speak up. Like, you remember the whole thing when the teams were going to boycott and there was, like, the back and forth, and apparently he pissed off LeBron James, and LeBron James was like, I have a feeling that that's one cool thing about this team and Jaylen Brown is that they might play just to spite LeBron James.
Ah, but is Tatum in the club now or not?
See, that's the question.
Tatum's going to get maxed out this year. Is he in the club now?
He might be on Team LeBron.
That's what I'm thinking.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Not Jaylen. He's going to be out there, and he's going to be like, we're the dirt dogs, F these guys. And I have a feeling that, you know, Marcus Smart will be in the same boat. And it would just make life a little tougher for Jason Tatum if he didn't go along with them. But I think in any other case, I agree with you, John. He might be on Team LeBron.
Don't play, they can't pay you. I mean, you're not getting a game check. So
you would think so. I mean,
if I'm Marcus Smart, I know he makes an awful lot of money. But if I'm Marcus Smart, is it really that big a pain in the ass to play basketball? Like, that I'm going to give up those game checks for 2 months? I don't think so.
No.
If I play, it's not like you're crossing. Like, it's not like you're a scab. It's not like the union's, you know, going to play.
Those people who aren't playing aren't holding signs.
Right,
They're on a beach somewhere.
So it's just like these elite guys that are just like, I don't want to play. And it really doesn't matter for the Lakers. I mean, they could be the sixth seed in the West and, you know, run through it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just when he decides to try. So, yeah, I mean, it's one thing if the union strikes and you play, then you're a scab that went against the union. But if it's just these, like, 20 elite players that get together and, you know, ride rafts in the Caribbean, then yeah, good. Who cares?
No one cares
about basketball in December anyway, except for Christmas Day. And Christmas Day, it's kind of just there. So people, I mean, Zion Williamson will play. You know, they'll put the Pelicans on Christmas Day. They'll showcase young talent, and they'll play.
Nothing says Merry Christmas like Stan Van Gundy sweating out there on the
side. I think
court.
That's incredible. I'm so happy that he's back.
I love Stan Van Gundy.
Enjoy him this year.
And coaching a high-profile team, too.
Enjoy him this year.
Yeah.
Because he might not be around for long.
He's one of those guys that has like a good first season.
Yeah.
Like after that, it's just the team was just goes, all right.
Ask the Pistons.
The Pistons gave him the keys to the car.
Yep.
And they just, for a while.
And they're like, you can do whatever you want. You're in charge of everything. And he went,
all right, I'm giving Reggie Jackson all the money in the world.
Reggie Jackson only exists on playing for the Pistons on video games. That's the only thing that Reggie Jackson exists on. No one's ever actually seen him play basketball. He just is on NBA 2K.
Yeah. This is so great. So now, like, Danny Green, I guess, did an interview with The Ringer, and he was talking about it. He goes, I think most guys, if they said we were going to start in December, they're like, I'm not going to be there. He said, I wouldn't expect to see LeBron James probably for the first month of the season. So he's on team. We're not going to play the first month.
Who?
These guys, Danny Green.
Who the hell's Danny Green?
Well, Danny Green, come on.
He's a great three-point shooter. He was on the Lakers, started for the Lakers this year.
If he's not going to play, I don't know if I can watch.
He was on.
An insider to what the team's mindset is. Someone on the team.
And he's part of that big Kawhi Leonard trade to Toronto from San Antonio. Wanted title in San Antonio, won a title in Toronto, and won a title with the Lakers.
Getting paid, $75,000 a game, I think I'm showing up. $100,000 a game, I'm showing up.
Not if you're worth $50 million.
No, but a Danny Green or whatever the hell these guys are.
Danny Green makes a decent amount of money.
Yeah, but I would want the money. He made $14 million last year. I want the money. I'd rather show up and play and get the money. I mean, if I'm LeBron James, my revenue stream is going to exist long after I'm gone. That's a different thing. But if I'm Danny Green, let's see, play basketball against, and make a lot of money or just sit around.
What if it's like the replacements movie? What if they bring back, like, Scalabrini and a couple of other guys?
Don't tease
me. Just rec league dudes?
I don't know. I'm not wild about Scalabrini. He kind of turned his back on us.
He didn't turn his back on us. He got a gig. He got paid by somebody. We didn't pay him.
No. I just think that he's on Cameo asking for a lot of money. I don't know. He just bothers me.
Does he charge more than you? How much did you charge?
I'm not on Cameo anymore.
Okay.
Cameo is a huge waste
of
time.
So you officially pulled yourself off.
Scal was not asking for a lot of money. I know that because I bought one.
It's like $100 or something.
No,
it
was like
$75.
I think it was like $50.
No, it's more than you think. And he's got a lot of people who paid it. I don't have the Cameo app.
He's
anymore.
Very popular on Scott.
But the Cameo, don't do it. It really does. Because it was fun. My daughter was the camera person. It was fun. I mean, I like doing the videos, but it's a disaster. That whole thing's a disaster. And you don't make any money. It's a ripoff. No more Cameo.
I'm telling you, Fred, if you want to do it, we can start one that's the money goes right to you.
I know. It was never about the money. It was something to do. It was a little creative outlet, and it was something I could do with my daughter. And, you know, if you're going to do it, you might as well get paid, but Cameo
is... Right. Scal's $100. Scal is $100. I thought he was like $50. You're right. Yeah.
For what?
I got a good one.
For who'd you get it for?
My kid's basketball team.
Oh, you should have just called them and said make a
video. I didn't want to be a dick. Like, that's like, all right, whatever. Yeah. I mean... It's easier. He ended up sending me a text like, dude, if I knew you were going to do it.
He's like Jim Norton. If I would have known, I would have done it for free. All right. We'll be back in just a moment. A lot of people are sending me something, and I got to tell you, I'm going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed by my reaction to it. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there's going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. You can follow John Wallach at Ken Griffey Rules on Twitter. You can follow the show. Rich runs the accounts at Toucher and Rich on Twitter and Instagram. You can send me messages and follow me on Instagram at Fred Toucher. And I've gotten quite a few people excited about this new Saved by the Bell reboot. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, here is a little taste of the teaser.
Yo, mama. Sorry, Dr. Mama.
How do you think this year's going to go for these new students?
I'm psyched.
You're excited for the first day of school?
Why is everybody so rich?
Are you ready for my party Saturday night?
I got DJ Khaled's baby to make you a playlist. It's okay.
Time out. What is up with these kids? Yeah.
In attendance will be the governor of California.
Max, Dad?
You look amazing. Your hair's fire.
My dad's also coming.
I don't care about your dad, Spencer. I just care about Zach and Kelly.
All right, so there you go. This Saved by the Bell is going to be on the wonderfully named Peacock Network. The California governor, Zach Morris, he gets in hot water for closing too many underfunded high schools. He proposes they send affected students to the most well-funded schools in the state, including Bayside High. The influx of new students gives the privileged Bayside kids as a much-needed dose of reality. And it affects, it has A.C. Slater and Jesse is in it as well. And I guess Kelly and Zach make appearances. So Zach is the governor and his son goes to the school. This is a big no. This is a no. I am in the sweet spot of my children where they are watching Saved by the Bell, which was trying. See, this thing is like all glossy and it's self-aware and all that garbage. Who wants that? The whole beauty of Saved by the Bell is that it was made, it sucks, and there it is. I mean, it so beautifully sucks, and it sucks because it was trying, and that's what makes it beautiful, is that it was really trying. They really, the episode of Running Zach, where Zach, here, Rich, this is a 22-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, I'm not doing a whole recap, don't worry, but Zach is a... He all of a sudden Zach's a big track star. This is only one other episode as it mentioned he runs track, but all of a sudden he's a big track star. He's got this va-va-voom teacher who one time put subliminal messages on tape so people would bring her chocolates and apples. But she says, like, you got to pass this test about your lineage that Zach is completely blown off. Zach finds out that he has American Indian or Native American ancestry. And goes to this guy's apartment, and the guy gives him a bunch of books. Zach reads them, realizes the power of the Native American, dresses up as a Native American, does a, no joke, less than a minute presentation, passes the test, then finds out the guy he had just met dies, does not want to run. I mean, the idea that they thought, you know what? Native Americans are getting a raw deal. Let's have Zach be one and dress up like one. Yeah. That's going to be a power move. And then the emotional, just the depths of emotion that we'll reach when the guy that the audience has been introduced to for 2 minutes dies. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the beauty of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, by the way, so they go, all right, we want to do a drug episode. And so the only way they can figure out to get drugs into the hands of teenagers is, one, have a celebrity shoot a commercial at the school where the head of NBC comes in, or two, this crazy thing where all of a sudden the girls are in a singing group that's never existed before, just in this episode, that there's a full 3 minutes of, like, setup of, and that Jesse all of a sudden needs to get this record deal going, so she takes caffeine pills. They couldn't... Do you know the lack of creativity that it would take to not figure out how to get drugs in the hands of high school kids? How about they're there? They're in the school. Right now, the school your kids are at in high school, someone has drugs. And they couldn't figure it out without some crazy-ass... angle of so anyway, this show, what's the point of it if it's self-aware? Like, if there's a wink and a nod. Remember when 90210 did it recently?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean,
and it was dumb.
Well, they did it as themselves, the actors, not right. The actual cast members. So, you know, it's weird. Here's what's going on is that, unfortunately, Cobra Kai caught lightning in a bottle. Like, Cobra Kai is the rare nostalgia show where just way too many people who gave a damn about the product worked on it, and it killed, and it was great. So what ended up happening is that people are seeing the success of Cobra Kai, and we're just going to get more of these. Now, up to this point, nothing's really worked. You've had the 902-101, as you mentioned. We haven't seen the Saved by the Bell one, but I agree. Just by watching the trailer, you're going, this isn't something that is going to work.
But, you know, but here's the deal, Rich, is that Cobra Kai is a good show. I do like the show. People don't like The Karate Kid because it's, like, corny. Like, people genuinely like The Karate Kid, and there is an interesting angle with those characters.
Yeah, like Johnny might just be a good guy after all, and maybe Daniel LaRusso isn't quite the angel that he was portrayed to be, and I love that. And but the writing's fantastic. But then you've got, like, the Fresh Prince is going to be doing some sort of, like, reunion type reboot thing.
That show's the worst.
I know, but everybody's trying to get back on this train, and I unfortunately think that the success of Cobra Kai is just going to make it worse, and you're going to have so many more of these things popping up. And I don't know. Maybe they saw, and it's not quite to the same extent, but maybe they saw Roseanne get rebooted. Well, that didn't really go too well for the first year. Roseanne, the title character, got kicked off the show. But still, they've had some success with, what is it called now? The something?
The Connors. There is an episode of Saved by the Bell where, by the way, Screech has the ability to build a robot that talks to him, has conversations with him, understands, is a AI, like, has emotions and understands him. But he gets his heart broken by, like, a lady who's writing him letters. And Zach, his best friend since birth, dresses up like a woman, goes into the Max, and confuses him into thinking that's the woman that's been writing with him or that's been on the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
He can't tell his best friend has a wig on. This is a man who built a robot that's helped almost seduce Kelly. By the way, there is an episode where Kelly is at the Max and she's daydreaming, and they're like, she's got it bad, and she's thinking about Screech because he's got a dang robot.
Oh, you know what? Somebody on Twitter makes a really good point. What started all this was Fuller House. It was like the Full House reboot, and that was successful, and tons of people watched it.
All you have to do
exactly
is trick kids into watching that thing, though. That just is on Netflix where kids, you know, click on whatever that is on there. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My kids, they were really into Fuller House, which had 5 seasons on Netflix, which is insane. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's just if you can get kids to do it.
At least I liked that Saget was getting, like, a good gig. You know, like, we like Bob Saget, so that was all right.
Believe me, he's got private plane money. He flies in a private plane. That's how he gets the gigs. I wouldn't worry about it.
Was he a producer on Full House?
I'm sure at the end.
Because is that how he got his money?
I guess so. I mean, he certainly didn't get it playing the broom like a guitar like Zach did when Screech had a house party.
I bet America's Funniest Home Videos, if he got some production credit, that show's always on, even like now.
Dude, he's worth
some channels playing it.
Saget only does this show, basically. He does this show, and he might do one in Tampa. He might do Calta's show. I think he might do Calta's show.
Yeah.
But I think those are the only two shows that local shows that he does. I mean, he comes in here. You weren't here the last time he was in, but he came in and he told me. He's like, dude, I'm flying private plane. I mean, he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, Saget, believe me, don't feel sorry for Saget.
That's a shock. Hundreds of millions, wow.
Oh, my God. America's Funniest Home Videos, Full House.
But if he wasn't a producer, I didn't think. But if he's a producer.
There's no way he didn't get a producer's credit on a show that went that long. All the stars do. Because that's the only way they keep them. Is because they don't pay him the salary. They give him production credit. Oh, yeah. He's got that money. He's got plenty of money. He's got Jesse money. Not Jesse money, because Jesse's got a little band that had a couple lickety-split tracks. Mm-hmm. Jesse and the
Rippers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the episode they went to Japan? Played in Japan. Remember that?
Do you remember when they had a wacky morning drive show? Dave Coulier and John Stamos?
I do.
And they broadcast from their house on a desk. Who knew that that was a precursor for things to come?
How many minutes do you think it took to record an episode of America's Funniest Home Videos?
10, 22.
Okay. So let's say it took 10 minutes because it's all him tossing it to video.
It's all drop-ins, yeah.
So there's probably actually 5 minutes of him actually speaking. And, okay, so let's give it 10 minutes for setups, so 15 minutes. I mean, he could film an entire season in probably two days.
Well, he was in the writer's room he was in the writer's room, so they had to come up with, like, boink.
Right. Okay, I need a ding here, a boink here, a wah-wah here. Okay, good. We've got gold.
Yeah. I mean, there was only so many fupas you could show. I mean, we get it. You can't see the guy's balls.
That's a different show. I'm not sure if it's America's Funny. Maybe
it was called America's Funniest Fupas. Is what it was. But no, I'm not watching the Saved by the Bell thing. Anything that's self-aware ruins it. I don't know why everyone has to ruin everything. I don't get it. I don't get why something just can't exist like that. Just let it exist. I don't need, like, a cute wink and a nod. I get it. Saved by the Bell is corny. It's part of our use. It's nostalgic. It's the little berry. You say, remember? I get it. There you go. All right. So everyone's telling me Rob Manfred was drunk. I didn't see it.
Oh,
I didn't think he was drunk. But now everyone's insisting he was drunk.
Yeah.
So.
Fred, I don't know whether he's drunk or what, but something was off with Rob Manfred.
He's in an altered state of mind. Because, can we go that far?
Because Michael Hurley tweeted something. He goes, is this an episode I think you should leave? And I went, ooh. But then, of course, Hurley set the bar far too high.
No, Manfred's off. And we have the audio. And it was noticeable. They had him speak several times, and every time it was a gift.
I'm worried about Hurley because all he does is put up photos of his family at apple orchards.
Oh,
so that can't be a healthy thing. If you feel the need to share your apple orchard pictures on social media, that you know, like, people are. I mean, come on. Let's what's really going on over there? You know what I'm saying? All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hear that.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Manfred, strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Check in and see if you know anything further about Justin Turner.
Only that he tested positive yesterday. They got those results back this afternoon. Ran the test from today, came back positive again. It's not a case of a false positive. I know that's been out there. It's not that way. Why he went on the field when he is positive, that is an excellent question. And my understanding from various people is that he was told not to go on the field.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is the reaction of Beardy McGee going on the field after testing positive for COVID. And chances are you'll never hear of this again. Is my
bet. I don't know about that. This whole World Series is going to go down in history. The bubble World Series.
No, you'll hear of the World Series. I just don't know if him being on the field is going to.
Are you kidding me?
Something that's going to last forever.
People are always going to remember that. The COVID year that at the final game.
Well, I guess it depends on what happens.
Mid-game who got yanked.
I guess it depends if a bunch of people get COVID and die or something. I suppose that could happen. But
well, it's just a wild ending to a strange season.
Right.
Where
I'm talking about
the final game.
Yeah, I'm talking about more specifically him being on the field. Like, if that's going, I don't think. You know, short of something unprecedented happening, I think that more people will remember the bubble and the garbage surrounding this stupid year.
Well, this was crazy because Jeff Passan came out with an article, and I'll just read this couple of sentences that he wrote. He's got one paragraph. He said, the Dodgers won the World Series on Tuesday night, and in the moments after, the world learned that Justin Turner, the team's third baseman and pulse of the clubhouse, had contracted the coronavirus. Turner was asked to isolate. He did not abide. He strode onto the field where his teammates were celebrating their victory over the Rays and joined. He removed his mask to pose for pictures with his wife, whom he kissed. He planted himself on the ground as the team gathered for a photo to commemorate the Dodgers' first championship in 32 years. To his right sat Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, who 10 years ago was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. To Turner's left, gleaming, set the World Series trophy. And that it just goes on about what an insane day this all was and how they had taken tests the day before, yet for some reason they didn't get the results back till the second inning that said it was positive, and they still didn't gank them. They kept them in and said, test it again. And then 6 innings later, they're like, yeah, we just tested it again. I know it took a whole day and a half to get the first test, but the second one came back in an hour and a half, and you better yank them. And so they ended up yanking him, and he said he wasn't going to go out, and then all that chaos happened, so... What a weird, weird thing. And then the whole Mookie Betts angle of all of it was crazy. But
if you're a security guard, how are you getting them off the field? I mean, really, how are you getting them off the field? I don't know. I don't know what the, I mean, those guys are partying. I wonder if they, and then, you know, whatever. They're all going to be partying hardcore in the streets of L.A., but, I mean, short of something bad happening, I don't think that the Justin Turner thing...
Yeah, the Dave Roberts thing merits watching.
Yes.
That's, of all of it, that's the thing that merits watching. Yeah. Because that is, I don't know, insensitive. It just kind of wound up that way. But Dave Roberts looks to his right and sees Justin Turner there. And it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, if his immunity is compromised, yeah, that's not good. But in terms of these players, they could have given a rat's ass. They don't care. And what are they? What is it? 25 to 44, 1 in 34,354 chance.
Yeah. Well,
so they're rolling the die.
It's not just them. But, no. But one thing that happened after it was all done that actually was wildly entertaining was Rob Manfred coming out to speak about, well, really, a variety of things. Let's first start with his awarding of the MVP trophy. Of course, always awkwardly standing next to the truck and, you know, trying to get the plug-ins and everything as well. Here is Rob Manfred, and Fred, you be the judge.
Okay, because I heard this morning, and I didn't sniff nothing out, but let me hear it again.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award.
All right, Fred. Deny that he's drunk.
You put the idea in my head. Now, hang on. Let me ask you this. Did you guys hear this before you knew that people said he was drunk?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I watched it live. I was like, whoa.
I did. No, I woke up, I heard it this
morning. I turned to my wife and I was like, whoa, Mary, is he drunk?
Yeah, he sounds drunk. Yes. Now that it's in my head, he sounds drunk. Good for him. He's probably like, we got through it. He's probably like, Jesus Christ, we played it. It's over. He probably as soon as that first pitch came on, he probably just started slamming them. And they're like, Justin Turner's got COVID. He goes, what do I care?
Not my guy.
Yep.
I'm on a plane. That, you see that Cessna over there? Yep. I'm on that Cessna in about 5 hours.
Yep. He's got COVID. I got Tito's.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, screw it. He's like, it's time to party.
I got crap on ice on that plane. I'm gone.
Yeah. He's like, I got a few months now that I don't have to worry about any of this horse crap.
That's right. Let
these guys go out and get COVID all over each other.
I don't care. In March.
Yeah. It's, what do I care?
Like, dude, it sounds like he drank himself into Steve Brule.
Yeah. I mean, he does sound drunk. I will give him that.
All right, start it over. Let's let it roll because it's pure.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
Listen, he got the words out. He read the script. Good for him.
I can't find the clip, but he sounds like Blob.
Yeah, Blob.
Blob from the Red Sox.
I've been there. Yeah, he's trying so hard, but good for him. He got through it, man. I mean, can you imagine the relief that guy's feeling right now? He don't care.
Well, you know what would be
tough?
It ain't
his fault. Nothing that happens from here on out is his fault.
Here's what would be tough.
Leave me out of it.
Let's say you were already celebrating, and then somebody ended up contracting COVID, and you had to be asked about it on television.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, then you got to protect yourself. Okay. But you got it. Okay. He don't got good PR people.
At this point, you had to read the script. That was something you had to do. Now just skedaddle. Get out of there. All right, so he's asked about the COVID situation. All right, here we go.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done.
You better believe he's glad to be done. He probably had to stay on point for this whole thing, and then finally he was just like... He's drunk. And I don't blame him. Good for him. Good for Rob Manfred. If there was a time to get drunk, wouldn't this be the time?
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong.
I would think running a professional sports league this year has been, pressure-packed? I can't really describe how difficult it's been, not just for Manfred, but for the other three guys as well.
And then as soon as he found out about Justin Turner, he had to be, like, so full-on, like, come on, Dodgers. Come on, Dodgers. Yeah. Come on.
Because
what would happen to Game 7?
That's right. Yeah. We had it in a week, 2 weeks, where the Dodgers have had to quarantine for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
With contact tracing, they couldn't have held a game tonight. Yep. No chance.
And then, I bet you, they'll go, why didn't you cancel the game or some horse crap? Why didn't you cancel the game?
Well, they didn't know until the second inning.
No, but what I'm saying is that there'll probably be people go, why didn't you cancel the game? And, or you knew beforehand, and he's just like, I'm drunk and on a beach. talk to me in February. I'm out.
Here he is being asked about it. Yep.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get the season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Yeah, he's hammered. He's hammered.
Immediately was a problem.
I'm Leo.
Yeah.
I like partying, having a good time, and going to the beach.
It's not his fault Justin Turner ran out of that clubhouse.
Hey.
That ain't his fault.
Remember what he said right at the beginning. We're glad to be done.
Yep.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
I just like to party.
You like a hot dog slice?
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
I'm Leo.
Play you like hot dogs.
I like partying, having a good time, and going to the beach.
I got to find that.
Wear that T-shirt. I do. You like a nice grilled hot dog sliced. Oh, yeah. I wear that T-shirt the listener made.
Okay. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I wear that out.
I think this is it right here. I think it's...
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Manfred's way worse.
Yeah, Manfred's in the
bag. But I shouldn't say worse because, I mean, why not? I mean, this is the time to be drunk.
Kraft is celebrating. That's one thing. All
right? Manfred's celebrating his ass off. That is the sound of a man... who is just like,
needing a release, baby.
It is over.
Bittersweet night for us.
Good for him.
Give me the doors and get out of the way.
Well, he didn't hurt nobody. We would have known if he got in an accident.
Positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Yeah. Prevent spread.
He just gave him almost there. That's like tripping at the finish line. That's like,
spread.
Just everyone's drunk talked like that. You got just enough energy to get to the first three quarters of what you wanted to say. And then it's like,
Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Super Vesper.
I mean, loaded.
Maybe if you can't get COVID, if you get super drunk, who knows? Maybe he's got access to some information that has yet to be released.
Completely safe. Here's his beer. You'll be fine.
That's more than beer, my friend. That is the sound of a man.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Yeah, he's loaded.
The Dodgers is this.
He's loaded. Good for him. Good for him. He didn't hurt anybody.
I stopped and I turned to my wife and I'm like, whoa.
This morning, it's so funny. That didn't resonate with me. I think we might have just lost Rich. But we'll be back in just a moment. Akib Tlaib is going to join us at 8.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
I have friends speculating. That's Rob Manfred from last night. And I have friends speculating that maybe he was on Xanax. I don't get the Xanax addictions. By the way, Xanax addictions for someone who was in detox, the people that are on a Xanax, addicted to Xanax, it's like a super long detox because they got to wean you off of it. And it's like a big pain in the ass. But I never got the Xanax addiction. It doesn't get you like high, in my opinion. The pills, I don't get it. I don't get the Xanax. They calm you down like if you're going to fly.
Yeah.
But it's more like, if when I take Xanax, it's more like it just stops that part of the brain from worrying. I don't like feel it.
So I've heard people say that there was a issue as far as being on the field. You can hear yourself over the speakers. And you speak. This isn't Rob Manfred's first go around doing this. Like, I mean, like, people are making it sound like they took somebody from the stands out there to go and speak. Rob Manfred's been on television and spoken on the field quite a few times. This is not his first rodeo.
Who's saying that?
Like I saw, well, first of all, we had a couple people tweet us, but I also actually saw, Jenny Dell of, tweeted it last night. She put that out there saying that, you know, taken from someone who, you know, has been on the field for these things.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, yeah,
but that's not what we heard. That's not what we heard there.
Regardless. I mean, what's the deal? Who cares if he's drunk? I mean, he deserves to get drunk. It's all over. He got through it. He made it through. Now it's over. Now nothing's his fault anymore. So he can just go and do whatever he wants.
I'm just trying.
I'd get drunk too.
Some of the other commissioners going through the same.
If I was Rob Manfred and I had a year of sobriety under my belt, I would get drunk at that night too. Absolutely. After all he's been through and all the crap he's had to deal with, that sense of relief. And then
led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
And then I'd spend the next 2 months detoxing. That's fine. Yeah. Smoke him if you got him. If anyone deserves a drink, it's Rob Manfred. He got through it. Who would insult the guy for getting drunk? If I'm Chevrolet, I love it because everyone's playing the audio.
See, here's why it's even funnier, though, because you know that Rob Manfred does not want to be known as someone who was drinking.
Oh, it sucks the next day. Oh, yeah. It's got to be embarrassing, but then all his friends are going to tell him it's fine and everyone's going to be fine and Chevrolet's going to be fine. And then everything works its way out. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't say anything bad. Yeah, it sucks. I'm sure he's super embarrassed. You know,
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
You know, that. I told Joe Namath to his face. I said, "You got absolutely." I actually won an award for that interview. I very prestigious award that I can't remember. But
the good interview award.
Yeah,
saved the trophy, did you?
I told Joe Namath. I go the ball's on ESPN to put you on there. That was a party for the Jets. That it was an anniversary because it's the only thing the Jets have. So they constantly trot those guys out while they're still alive.
It was on a Saturday night that game.
Whatever night it was. It was the night for them to come in and to hang out and party. Yep. He's on the sidelines as he was required to be. And ESPN knew he was drunk and put him on the air anyway. So that's on ESPN. He has every right to be drunk and charming. I mean, I just want to kiss you. I mean, come on. Where are we at now?
Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
That's a slur. But I don't blame him. And I think that it's nice. I think that it's good for him. I would have done the exact same thing. I wouldn't do it today, but I'd do it in a year.
At a different time.
No, in a year. Like, I got a year of sobriety. If I was him, I would get drunk. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why not? He didn't kill anyone.
Sweet berry wine!
That's right. He sounds exactly like Steve Brule. All right. Aqib Talib is scheduled, and I do emphasize scheduled, to join us immediately following the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.